Jeb Sharp joins me now in our Boston studio. So 20 years since the end of apartheid. And as you say, the wounds are just below the surface.
That's right, Marco. I mean, it's really a privilege to go and do stories about women's lives in South Africa now when things are changing and there's so much hope and it's really a new era. But when you sit down and actually talk to people, you can't help but feel everything underneath. And in the case of the sisters, it was this eviction that happened early in their lives that rippled through their lives, even though they've done okay in the end. And there was a lot of dislocation and disruption and violence during apartheid, obviously. And I kept hearing about it.
Yeah. And how does that play out, that dislocation and violence? How does that play out today in the lives of other people you met in Cape Town?
Almost everybody you meet has a story, and I want to tell you now about this woman, Nobom Suntswana. She's 60 years old. Like many people in Cape Town, she comes from Eastern Cape Province, her family. There's a lot of migration between the two places. And first, I just want you to hear what her life was like when she was young.
Our fathers would come to Cape Town to look for work, and our mothers were not allowed to come with them. And then when they got to Cape Town, they will find another woman, and then father will forget about us. The life was very, very tough. I used to walk to school without shoes. When the cows do their business, I'll run and bake my feet in their little oven, and then after that, I'll go back to the frost so my feet will be clean to get to school.
And just to make sure I understand you, you were so cold that you had to put your feet in the cow's dung, and then you would clean it off, but you'd get them warm, and then you'd clean it off.
Yes. I didn't have shoes.
So, Marco, that gives you a feel for Nabom's childhood. But she says she always knew she'd get out of there, and she attributes that in part to the faith her mother instilled in her. Listen to this.
You know, like my mom, at night, she would say, come, let us pray. So while we were kneeling down, my father would say, I'll get up with my stick and beat you all. And my mom will sort of put her hands around us, and she'll tell us, don't worry, he won't do it. There is a big dada up there that was going to protect us.
Wow, what a brave woman.
Yeah, and eventually Nobom has to leave home because the family was so poor. She's 15 years old. She makes her way to Cape Town. She gets herself a job in a shop, but she managed to earn enough money at that first job to buy her parents a little house in the Eastern Cape.
So that's maybe the start of getting out of the misery. Did the misery ever subside for Nobom?
Yes, I take that period in her life to be a really positive one. She gets out on her own. She's driven. She finds a way to look after her parents. She settles in Khayelitsha, that sprawling township outside Cape Town. She becomes a domestic worker, which is an option for many poor women under apartheid to go and work and clean and look after kids in the homes of white families in richer neighborhoods. She married a man she loved, George. But in 1999, her 22-year-old son is mugged and killed. For nothing, for 10 rand in his pocket, you know, the equivalent of a dollar.
Right.
He was an electrical engineering student. He was sort of the face of this generation that was gonna make it in the new South Africa. And to hear Nobom describe it, it just broke her.
Like, I was very angry, asking God questions. Why me? Why me?
Yeah. Why me? I know South Africa, Jeb, used to have one of the highest murder rates per capita in the world, but I thought it had gone down. Is that violence still common?
The violence is still really common. And also this kind of crime, mugging you for cell phone, for small bits of money. And, you know, in this case, we're talking about a young man, but young women are really under attack. There's an incredible violence against women in South Africa, one of the kind of most troubling aspects of life there today.
I know that's something you're going to be talking about tomorrow, security and the crime situation. How does Nobom's story end, Jeb?
Well, eventually she turns her life around. That same drive that got her to pick up and leave home and get a job and look after her parents seemed to come around again. A friend urged her to sign up for a skills training course with an NGO in Cape Town called Learn to Earn. She loved it there. She really felt kind of loved and embraced by the staff there. And the saddest part, in a way, is that she got her life back together and then her husband was killed in a car accident. So she went through a whole nother cycle of grief. But when I met her and watched her with these, you know, she now works for the same NGO and she mentors younger people, teaching them life skills and technical skills so they can go out and get jobs. And you can hear her here in the organization Sewing Center.
Ooh, look at this. This is beautiful. This one, I'm going to do it by hand. It's going to look so lovely.
She just radiates a kind of warmth and groundedness. And clearly I looked as if I couldn't understand this, that I couldn't match the story to the reality. And she just looked at me and said, Jeb, I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy.
Great attitude, great story. Thanks for telling us about Nabom Jeb. The World's Jeb Sharp will have more stories about women's lives in South Africa all this week. And you know, listening to Nabom, it reminds me that all of us have strong women in our lives. So who is the most powerful woman in your life? Tell us at PRI.org.